We're going to begin our regular meeting today. I'm going to ask our brand new student, board student members, Christy, to lead us in the pledge.
Please stand. Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
Please remain standing. We are deeply saddened to hear the passing of the first grade Parkview student, Taylor Nguyen, and first teacher, Sagario Gill. Taylor Nguyen, a cherished first grade student of Parkview Elementary, passed away peacefully this summer due to the heart condition. Taylor was 6 years old, and she lived her life with incredible courage and strength. She loved to color and draw and play with fellow classmates on the playground. She was a wonderful student and very good at following direction. She was very affectionate and would hug her teacher every day, and her bright spirit touched everyone around her. Taylor's family shared that she had a beautiful service in New Mexico, where many of her family are located, and her ashes will be taken to Vietnam. Taylor will be deeply missed by everyone who knew her. Sagario Gill joined GUSD family in 2007, teaching sixth grade at Clinton Elementary School. During her time at Clinton, Sagario also served as a parent educator, PPIS chair, and grade level chair. In 2011, she transferred to Barker Elementary School, and in 2013, she transferred to Russell Elementary School, this time teaching sixth grade. She loved attending science camp with the students and co-leading the academic decathlon. In 2016, she began teaching at the first ever Spanish Dual Language Immersion Academy at Monroe Elementary School, teaching first and second grade. In 2018, Sagario returned to Russell Elementary as a dual language immersion coach and was so proud to be part of a district that supports and embraces bilingual education. She started the first elementary Latino Unidos Club and presented at the LU conference for many years on embracing biliteracy and biculturalism. In 2022, Sagario joined the first intermediate dual language academy and was beyond thrilled to reunite with her former second grade student from Monroe and former student from Russell. She was always sharing how proud she was of her student, and in 2023, one of her chiquitas was recognized at a CABE conference for her beautiful essay on the power of bilingualism. She loved to travel during school break and would always share her experience with her students. Sagario was beloved by her family, her students, and her fellow staff member, and she will be greatly missed by everyone who knew her. We extend our deepest condolences to the family and friends of Taylor Nguyen and Sagario Gill. A moment of silence now begins. A moment of silence now ends. Please be seated. First, I want to announce that our video, the live streaming, is not working today. But we do have audio recording. It's still on, so hopefully the video live streaming will come back, so we all can behave now. So because we don't have a video, we're going to take roll attendance. So we don't take roll, right? Begin.
Okay. Student trustee Christy Getachew?
Yes.
you. Trustee Dina Nguyen, looks like she's absent today.
She's not present.
Trustee Walter Muñetón?
Here.
Trustee Terry Rocco?
Here.
Trustee Bob Harden?
Here.
Chairperson Len Nguyen?
Here. Thank you. Our first item on the agenda is presentation. We would like to invite Ms. Lisa Swart, the Assistant Superintendent of Elementary Education, to present the 11 schools of California Distinguished Schools.
Thank you. Good evening, President Nguyen, Board of Education Trustees, Dr. Mafi, staff, and guests. It is both an honor and pleasure to recognize and celebrate an extraordinary accomplishment in the Garden Grove School District. On March 25th, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tony Thurman, announced the 2025 California Distinguished Schools, and we are proud that 11 of these schools are right here in GGUSD. Yeah! The California Distinguished School Award is the state's highest recognition for public schools, honoring campuses that demonstrate outstanding academic achievement and or significant progress in closing the achievement gap. Schools are selected based on performance and progress on key indicators from the California School Dashboard, with a focus on academic growth and fostering a positive school climate. This distinction is not just impressive, it is exceptional. GGUSD earned more California Distinguished School Awards than any other district in Orange County, receiving 10 of the county's 44 total awards. We say 11 because we consider Peters as two campuses. To put this in perspective, yeah, that's right. To put this in perspective, while our schools make up only 6.5% of all schools in Orange County, they represent a remarkable 23% of this year's distinguished schools. On a statewide level, only Los Angeles Unified School District, which is more than 14 times larger than GGUSD, received more awards than we did. This achievement is a reflection of the tireless dedication of our teachers, staff, administrators, and of course, our incredible students and families. These awards reflect not only the success of individual campuses, but GGUSD's well-earned reputation as a model of academic excellence. Our results are not by chance. They are the outcome of proven research-based instructional strategies aligned with our district goals of equipping all students with the academic and personal skills for lifelong success. To our distinguished schools, congratulations. You make us all proud and you set the bar for what is possible in public education. We will call out each of our California Distinguished School teams up for a photo with the board and to receive a special certificate brought this evening by a representative from California Assemblyman Trita's office. So with that, let's give everybody a round of applause. And with that, we're going to call up Anthony Elementary's team, and we have a poster over here in our board to take a picture. And while they come up, I'll say a few words about each of our schools. If anybody is missing and I do not call your name, please let us know. So we want to make sure you get that recognition. And we'll get started with our first school. Representing Anthony Elementary, we have here tonight Principal Kathleen Ash, Teacher Susan Campbell, Educational Specialist Alan Trott, School Secretary Chris Fujimori, School Community Liaison Ha Vu, and Office Clerk Patricia Galrap. Anthony is a previous Distinguished and Blue Ribbon school, and they are committed to implementation and commitment to multi-tiered systems of supports, which ensures that all students get what they need academically, emotionally, and behaviorally. Anthony truly cares about the whole child. Congratulations to the Anthony team. Representing Barker Elementary, we have here tonight Principal Michelle Askew, teachers Jeannie Mercurio, Denise Ucker, Ivy Noe, Daisy Coonan, and Office Clerk Sarah Tran. A highlight of Barker is their strong academic program and extracurricular activities that help foster Goal 1 and Goal 2 on the Barker campus, along with their dedicated staff members and tight-knit community that helps with the home and school connection. We are very proud of the Lions staff and their care of students and families. Let's give them a round of applause. And next up is Burkhurst, and if we can have Cook line up to the side. Representing Burkhurst Elementary, we have Principal Nicole Van Wiggen Moore, teachers Melanie Clevidence and Jennifer Burrows, TK aides Alyssa Munoz and Natalie Rosales. Burkhurst Elementary is proud to be recognized for fostering a thriving school culture where students dream big, believe in themselves, and achieve success, reflected in their strong academic growth, inclusive programs, and committed to educating the whole child. Burkhurst is also a proud participant of the Disney musical program. Way to go, Dolphins.
Yeah, way to go, Dolphins. Interesting.
Thank you, Burkhurst. Come on out, Cook, and if Eisenhower can line up on the side. Representing Cook Elementary, we have here tonight former principal Sherry Sanborn and current principal Ryan Baker, as well as office manager Lou Morris, clerk Marilyn Leon, and ed specialist Emily Sweeney. Cook is a previous distinguished AmBlue school recipient. Cook feels their nurturing, respectful, and collaborative school environment promotes rigorous academics supported by a growth mindset through AVID, positive behavior through PBIS, and diversity and inclusion through their No Place for Hate initiative. Congratulations to the Cook staff, as we're very proud of your earned accomplishments. Next up is Eisenhower, and if Excelsior can line up on the wall, against the wall, the wall. Representing Eisenhower Elementary, we have Principal Chris Ash, Assistant Principal Maida Garcia, Secretary Cecilia Mone, and teachers Nicholas Frimmer and Andrea McKeever. Eisenhower Elementary is proud to be named a California Distinguished School for the first time. Not the last. This incredible honor reflects the hard work and dedication of their teachers, staff, students, and parents who have come together to create a supportive and high-achieving learning environment. As a true community school, Eisenhower is committed to supporting students and their families, because when families thrive, students thrive. Eisenhower is also a proud participant of the Disney musical program. This award is a team celebration of Eisenhower's shared commitment to excellence. Next up, we have Excelsior, and if Hill could line up to be next. representing Excelsior Elementary. We have here tonight Principal Dr. Jennifer Carter, Secretary Kelly Hughes, Teacher Heidi Tran, and Office Clerk Jasmine Huntsinger. Excelsior has been recognized for Distinguished School previously and have the honor of continually being honored by U.S. News and World Report as a high-performing elementary school. Excelsior has a dedicated and committed staff, a strong partnership with parents, and high expectations of students' performance and behavior. Way to go, Eagles. Next up, we have Hill, and if Patton could get in line for next. Representing Hill Elementary, we have former principal Toby Varis and current principal Leanne Thompson. Assistant Principal Summer Hughes, Teacher Lisa Lord, Educational Specialist Sharon Swoboda, and Office Clerk Leticia Lopez. Hill's dedicated teachers and staff are deeply committed to student achievement and go above and beyond to support student success. In addition to a strong focus on academic skills, Hill also offers a robust wellness program and enriching opportunities such as the Disney Musical Program, which promotes student confidence, creativity, and collaboration. Congratulations to the Hill Hounds. Next up, we have Patton and Peters K3 in the queue. Representing Patton Elementary, we have here tonight Principal Kai Chang, Assistant Principal Aaron Rivera, second grade teacher Aaron Grindle, and sixth grade gate teacher Ann Dondero. A highlight at Patton is the strength of its culture of collaboration between the staff and their families to create a school that is successful for all the scholars that attend. They also support the Disney Musical Program, as we saw a fantastic Lion King performance last year. Thank you, Patton Elementary. You make us all proud. Next, we have Peters TK3, and in the on-deck circle, Peters 4-6. Baseball reference. Representing Peters K3, we have Principal Jean Camp, along with Assistant Principal Liz Milliman and Ed Specialist Joyce Barossa. Peters K3 is proud to receive this distinguished award. This achievement is not just a testament to their hard work, dedication, and talent, but also to the spirit of excellence that is representative of the school. The PK3 team has shown what it means to persevere through challenges, collaborate effectively, and aim higher with every opportunity. At Peters TK3, they live GGUSD's goals 1, 2, and 3. Congratulations. Oh, I need it for Sean's. Yes. Representing Peters 4-6 Elementary, We have Principal Sean DeShawn and also Assistant Principal Liz Millman. She does double duty, along with Secretary Shannon Lacey, fourth grade teacher Lane Kenny, and fifth grade teacher Amber Rogers. This award is a testament to the hard work from teachers and staff to students and parents in making Peters 4-6 a great community to learn and grow. Peters 4-6 works hard to give all students the tools they need to succeed through excellent academic instruction supported by extensive after-school programs. Peters 4-6 prides itself on their positive culture, making all students feel welcome by valuing their strength and culture. It truly takes a village to raise great kids, and Peters 4-6 is proud to be of a partnership that leads to excellence. Congratulations. And finally, we have Zion Elementary. Come on up. Representing Zion Elementary, we have Principal Dr. Gary Gerstner, along with teachers Maureen Mesa, Jethro Somstrat, and Kelly Falk. Zion is very proud to receive this award as they work as a team for the benefit of their students and community. This award highlights the dedication of Zion's teachers, staff, students, and community as they work to amplify GGUSD's district goals. Zion holds their students to not only high academic standards, but understands the importance of student care and wellness and providing supports for the whole child. Way to go, Cobras. Congratulations. We are very proud of all of our schools and wish you all continued success. Come on back in the following years for this year. Thank you very much, everybody.
Now it's time to take a short recess. So every important people, it's free to leave the room. Thank you, very congratulations for coming. I'm very, very excited. Okay, we are back in session now. Next item on the agenda. In the public comments, may I ask if any member wish to speak?
Yes, we do have five public comments this evening.
The first request is from Demian Garcia Moray.
Mr. Garcia Moray, we'll just hold on one moment so we can close the door and have it quiet.
Thank you.
We have our staff coming back in.
Are we ready? Or not yet? Okay. Okay, thank you. All right. Good evening, President of the Board, Long Nguyen, Board of Trustees, Dr. Mafi, staff, parents, and guests. My name is Demian Garcia Monroy. Been a parent in this district for quite some time. I've been advocating for children with special needs for 13 years. and just wanted to come and say a few words. First, I wanted to thank you for bringing Dr. Steve Yoon as our SELPA director. He's the first person who's had the courage to let go of the CAC and give it to the community of which it belongs, to all of us, the district, the parents, the community. And that takes courage. A lot of people have wanted to hold on to that, fearing that if the parents took control of that committee, that it could be bad for the district. And obviously that hasn't happened. It's been pretty collaborative. Obviously some people have different views, but you know, when you have a lot of views on both sides saying it's not going this way and that's going that way, that probably means that we're getting somewhere, right? And I want to thank Dr. Steve Yoon for meeting with us parents and going over concerns. But I do want to at least let the board know as well that some of the things that that I'm seeing as someone who's been advocating here in the district. We need Andrew F. training. A lot of your, in fact, I would say every teacher I've asked, none of the teachers, none of the people in the IEP team understand what Andrew F. is and how it impacts the IEPs. So that needs to happen because it's a current standard for IEPs. Competence and sensitivity training. I was at a IEP where the term unintelligible was used like 20, 30 times, okay, for a child, when there's so many other ways to describe the same thing, like clarity of speech, you know, difficult to understand. Just we can use different terms where the parent doesn't feel that the staff are being insensitive. We need to continue promoting the right people. I've seen some really great people in this district come in and understand how to use resources, and others who just say no. We need to hire more of the people who are empathetic and who understand how to work with the parents, how to interpret what the parents are saying about
Time's
their
up.
Kids.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next request, we have Wendy Cromelin Tawin.
Good evening, President of the Board, Mr. Nguyen, Board Trustee, Dr. Mafi, members of the board, staff, and guests. My name is Wendy Cromlin Tarvin. I am here to speak on behalf of our students with special needs. I am a grandmother of a 8-year-old girl, my granddaughter, who has special needs and is in the Garden Grove School District. I would like to express the urgent need for earlier assessments when a suspected disability is creating barriers to a child's education. Waiting until a child is 2 years behind to initiate support is not only detrimental to their academic success, but also more costly in the long run, both financially and emotionally. The impact on a child's mental health as well as on their family can be profound when interventions are delayed. Additionally, I would like to highlight concerns regarding the length and effectiveness of the IEP process. Parents need to receive documentation and assessment results in advance so they can meaningfully participate in the meeting. IEPs must be scheduled with adequate time for thorough discussions, and teams should be trained to listen carefully and respond appropriately to parent concerns. Families should not feel compelled to hire advocates or attorneys just to have their child's needs addressed and the child get the education that they deserve. I want to thank Dr. Steven Yoon for taking the time to address many of the concerns raised by myself and other parents and for showing a genuine willingness to improve the special education department. Thank you. And that is a heartfelt thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Emmett. Next request is from Nicole Hymes.
Okay, so hi, I'm Nicole Hymes. I'm speaking on multiple things today. The first is you guys had a study session, I believe, earlier today over board policies. And if transparency is anything other than a buzzword, those would be recorded so we could see them. The other thing is that at the last meeting, which was only around 49 minutes, Walter took up 11 minutes just rambling about himself, but also during public comment, he didn't really pay attention to the people who were speaking at public comment. You know, Terry has to listen all the time about how she shouldn't be here, yet she gives full attention and she's respectful to everybody. And then we have Walter, who checks the time multiple times, checks his watch, has to play with his phone. Very, very rude and unprofessional, right? You have to listen to us, whether you want to or not. And lastly, going over the CAC, which, as everyone pretty much knows, I filed a state complaint. You appealed, so I won twice. And I filed another one because it is not, in my opinion, for the second time, following as the state describes. So you guys in April, you voted to have to follow the state ed code, which gives different categories. And you said by this school year, we would have those categories, they'd be filled. I'm on the membership committee and I'm on the bylaws committee. For membership, we have not received any applications. And that's because of Steve, as well as their chair, Crystal Cervantes. So you're going to be asked today to approve Josh Peacock. And if you know anything about the CAC and the bylaws that you guys passed in 2018, only members could vote. Then you guys created voting members, and only 5 voting members showed up that day. I am not a voting member, but you allowed me to vote. So if the Garden Grove Way has anything to do with honesty, then you wouldn't, you know, continue to choose which part of the ed code you violate, which part that you follow, and how it relates to my own children, who my son has a TRI, and you have to assess for all areas of, you know, disability. I have Steve Yoon, Aaron Laura, Linda Twerk, Feather Hawking, Nicole Gattier, and the email is from an Adriana Angulo. And they told me, between all of them, in that email, that they're not going to assess for central auditory processing because you don't have in-house. This is not my first rodeo at all. So you have another state complaint. You know, no parent should have to hear, well, we don't have the employees, so we're going to ignore this part. That's not okay, especially because the district created this email chain, and the district created and added all these people who know. Do better.
Next request is from Donnie Terranova.
Good evening. I'll be incredibly brief. Board, Dr. Mafi, I come with some good news. There's a partnership that's been formed between Kiwanis and GGEA, and I wanted to publicly acknowledge it. Kiwanis has been kind enough to give 10 $500 grants to any teacher in GGUSD, and it was just going to be 5 per semester, but there were so many teachers that applied that they doubled it up. And I just wanted to share that good news. You know, I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on in the world that's not that great, but when you get a grant for $500, I applied. I could use some new whiteboards. If you're a teacher in this room and you haven't applied, you missed the deadline, but you can get in for the second semester. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
And our last request is from Nicholas Dips.
Thank you for that good news about the partnership with the Kiwanis Club. I'm former Keek Club president at Pacifica, so look forward to helping on that if I can. Dr. Mafi and members of the school board, I'm Nicholas Dibbs. I have a litany of items here. I hope I don't run out of time. Allow people to call in. There are people with medical conditions. You can give priority to people with medical conditions or disabilities who can't be here, or other people who can't be here. There's all kinds of parents and community members that have concerns, but they don't have time to come down here all the time. So allow people to call in. Record the study sessions. These shouldn't be secret meetings. You have them obviously earlier in the day. Very few people show up. Be transparent. We the public should have an opportunity to hear what you hear at the study session, because it's good to educate everybody, and also to hear your discussions if you have any. Instead of just having these meetings more or less in semi-secret, because you know that people aren't really going to show up, and you can talk about anything, and we don't know what you're talking about, and we don't know what the presentations are about as far as the details. So please, I've mentioned this before, record the study sessions. Allow people to call in. Bring back, and I've been telling you this for 9 years or more, bring back the shop classes to 7 through 12. You did it at only one high school. What about the 10 intermediate schools? The fact that Nicholas Middle School in Fullerton builds a tiny house with the 8th grade wood shop, and they only have two or three middle schools. We have 10 intermediates. All 10 lost the wood shops and the metal shops. I've been asking you for years and years and years, bring these classes back. Okay. Speaking of that, and also at the high schools, bring more skilled trade shop classes. I have for Christy, the student board member, ask the Dr. Maffey and the powers that be to do a survey of the students, grades 7 through 12. Would they like to see CTE, skilled trade shop classes, brought back to the 7th and 8th grade, where we used to have wood shop and metal shop? Would they like to see more CTE classes of the skilled trades in the high schools that have been cut? We used to have auto shop at all 7 high schools, as far as I know, and now we only have them at 3. Why not bring more of them back? Ethics. You have no board policy or administrative policy, as far as I know, unless you discussed it today. And if you did, please let me know. You have no board policy on who gets to have a private video publicizing themselves and or their business on a school district website. And in the case of Barker Elementary School, it shouldn't be up to giving the appearance of cronyism that you only allow certain people who have, such as the Tackneys, they get to have a video up there for almost 3 years, and there's no policy as to who gets to have a video and who doesn't. I have Time's other up. Things to do.
Thank you.
I'll just say, but I ran out of time.
Okay, that concludes the public comments section. We now go to the next item on the agenda, which is to approve the minute from our last meeting. Any comment, question? Hearing none, let's call for the vote.
Student trustee Christy Getachew?
Abstain.
Thank you. Trustee Walter Munyatone?
Aye.
Trustee Terry Rocco?
Aye.
Trustee Bob Harden?
Aye.
Chairperson Len Wynn?
Aye. Item 3 is on a public hearings, presentation and report. We have a public hearings on the certification of instructional material. According to Education Code Section 60119 and 60605, and also 33126, to certify that each student in the district has sufficient textbook or instructional material that are aligned to the content standards and adopted pursuant to Section 60605 and 33126. Any member? I want to open a public hearing. Any members wish to speak?
We have one card submitted.
Thank you. Request to speak from Mr. Nicholas Dibbs.
President Len Wynn, members of the school board, Dr. Maffey, staff, and members of the public. You're certifying instructional materials. You need to include what's not in there, which is the protection of our students who are getting too much online instructional materials with Chromebooks, with online activities, and so on. We need to reduce that online presence. And so I'm asking that you include a book, and I'll give each of you one of these. It's called Better Than Real Life, The Secret Science Addicting Kids to Screens and How to Save Childhood by Dr. Richard Fried. Now, why should this be an instructional book? Because the parents and the students, particularly the students, but the parents also, but in your instructional materials include digital safety, because the screen time addiction and also addiction to esports is causing havoc across this country. And as we know, we've had children committing suicide, attempting to commit suicide because they're being bullied online and so on. So include in your instructional materials this book as well as others that Craig Durfee has given you in email, multiple emails, Better Than Real Life, The Secret Science Addicting Kids to Screens and How to Save Childhood. And this is available, and it says here that the book is known only to only a handful of tech elite, how Silicon Valley uses its secret science of persuasive design to shift childhood from the real world into their for-profit virtual domains of social media, video games, and online videos. And so we know, and you know, I believe, because you're participating in a group lawsuit against the tech companies, against the social media companies, there needs to be more in the instructional materials for the students and give them the information as to the addiction that's going on and the fact that profit is being put ahead of what's in the best interest of our students by addicting them to games and online stuff. But Laguna Beach Unified recently came out with a policy, and you need to look at it. And that is that their board and their staff came up with a guideline that overall screen time in the schools as far as instruction should be limited to no more than 3 hours or less. And so they're coming up with guidelines saying too much Chromebooks, too much online stuff is hurting the students in the schools. And the studies show, according to this what's in here, and Dr. Reed has done extensive research, that if you reduce screen time and you reduce social media and gaming, esports, that the academic performance increases.
You're coming.
Thank you.
Any other requests to speak? Hearing none.
There are none.
I now close the public hearing. Item 4 on the agenda is administration. We have item 4A through C.
Move 4A through C.
And the motion?
Thank you. Item 4A is to approve the agreement between Gandalf Districts for an agreement for the Parent Infant Education and Support Program, would provide early intervention to families with infant ranging from birth to age 3 identified with a hearing impairment for the school year 2025-26. Item 4B, it approved the recommendation for the appointment of Josh Peacock as the Community Advisory Committee Vice Chairperson for the school year 2025-26 and also to 26-27. Item 4C, it approved the recommendation for exposing of one student for the mandatory exposure for one calendar year. Yeah. All right. At the end of item 4, any comment, question? Hearing none, let's call for the vote.
Student trustee Christy Getachew?
Yes, on 4A and B, and abstain on 4C.
Thank you. Trustee Walter Munyatone?
Aye.
Trustee Terry Rocco?
Aye.
Trustee Bob Harden?
Aye.
Chairperson Lynn Nguyen?
Yes. Item 5 is on the programs and instruction. We have 5A and B.
I'll move 5A and B.
Any motion? Second.
I'll second it.
Thank you. And 5A is to approve the agreement with Injury-Free for the student athletic injury management software for the school year 2025 and 26 school years. Item 5B to approve a number of our district events. We have a request from Pacifica High School to allow 25 JOTC students to participate in the JODC Basic Leadership Camp in Santa Ana High School for the period from September 25th to 28th, 2025. Second request is from Bonesa Grande High School to approve to allow 75 vocal ensemble and concert choir students to participate in the choir winter retreat in Running Spring, California, during December 28th to 30th, 2025. Any comment? Question? Hearing none, I call for the vote.
Student trustee Christy Getachew?
Yes.
Trustee Walter Muniton?
Aye.
Trustee Terry Rocco?
Aye.
Trustee Bob Harden?
Aye.
Chairperson Lin Nguyen?
Yes. Six is on business. We have 6A to P.
I move we approve items 6A through P.
Second that.
Thank you. Item 6A to approve resolution number 6 to authorize the increases to reflect in additional income received and expended in the school year 2024 and 25 in its excess of the amount that the board approved for operating the budget of that year. Item 6B is to approve resolution number 7 to authorize the budget transfer between expenditure classification in accordance with Education Code, Section 42-600. Item 6C is to approve resolution number 8 to establish to recalculate the district 2024-25 appropriation limit and establish the 2025-26 appropriation limit. Item 6D to approve resolution number 9, which certified that for the school year 2025-26, each school has been provided sufficient textbooks and instructional materials in each subject that are consistent with the content and cycle of the curriculum framework adopted by the State Board. Item 6E to approve the annual statement of receipt and expenditure for 2024-25 according to the board report on September 2nd, 2025, with authorized it filing with the Orange County Superintendent of Schools. Item 6F is to approve the final extension of bid number 2205 with Array Joint Education Solution, BNH Photo, CDW, and Howard Technologies, and also Record Protection and Selling Computer Warehouse for a number of items. All the terms will be contract is from August 16, 2025, to August 15, 2026. Item 6G is to approve accept a bid for vehicle park for supply from Neo Park Transit LLC for the item number 40 and 41 and West Trust International for the item number 1 to 39 and 42 to 84 for the low qualifying bid meeting specification and a condition of bid number 2503. It valid from September 3, 2025 to September 2nd, 2026. Item 6H, it will allow the acceptance of a California First Food and Vegetable Program Grant Award for the school year 2025-26. And this is a competitive grant to allow the number of schools to accept some funding, the amount $50 per student from 8 elementary schools, including Bryan, Carrillo, Heritage, New Hope, Rosita, Russell, Simon, and Woodbury, with it to provide food and fresh vegetable to up 2 and 3 times per week. Item 6I is to approve the completion of project at various Hoon site to Mayer Construction, Inc., Econo Friends, Inc., Franklin Mechanical System, Circle City Electric, Genesis Floor Covering, Inc., McGill Sports Services, J. Cobb, Inc., at San Diego High School, and then the notice of completion will be signed and filed, and an invoice processed for payment. Item 6J is to approve the E-rate request proposal number 2501 to cybersecurity pilot program funding year 2025-26. This contract will be awarded to NTH for Generation Computer, Inc. for the three-year terms to provide cybersecurity for the district. Item 6K is to approve the ratification of the California Uniform Public Construction Cost according to Act Informal Bid Award. And this time it will be provide accounting act to AVI SPL LLC, Circle City Electric, Inc., Franklin Mechanical System, Inc., and also Genesis Floor Covering, Inc. Item 6L is to approve the renewal of agreement with Admin Sewer for auto and general liability claim administration for 1 year from October 1st, 2025 to September 30th, 2026 at the annual cost of $42,000. This will note that the fee will be adjusted from $2,500 to $3,500 per month. Item 6M is to approve the request for proposal number 2208 for fast food for food services with Gold Star Food with an overall price increase of $3.61. This is the final term of a contract valid from July 20th, 2025 to July 19, 2026. Item 6N it will accept the bid from Wooden Floor at the most responsible bidder meeting the specification terms and the condition at the request for proposal number 2502 with valid from October 31st, 2025 to October 30th, 2026. We do provide the wooden flooring for the secret program with the dance program in our district. Item 6O is to approve the use of three district bus, school buses, and driver for transportation and participation in the Fiesta Patriots Parade on September 14, 2025. Item 6P is to approve the purchase order and check in total amount for the $6,791,577.07. Any comment, question on any item?
Just a comment on 6J. The cybersecurity pilot program funding. It's a government, a federal government grant program. There are 681 school districts in California. There's one school district that got this grant. And I think that's a testament to Stephen and his team in the IT department and our business office and the work they have done and the work they did to put a plan together that would be approved for this program. So I just wanted to call that out.
Thank you, Trustee G. Harden. I'm very impressed, too. We got come up with $1 million. $259,277 with in a competitive rent. It's not something given based on the ADA, but it is, you had to fight for it. But thank you very much for the IT team for working on it. Any other comment, question? All right. Hearing none, let's call for the vote.
Student trustee Christy Getachew?
Aye.
Trustee Walter Munyatone?
Aye.
Trustee Terry Rocco?
Aye.
Trustee Bob Harden?
Aye.
Chairperson Lin Nguyen?
Aye. Item 7 is on a personnel report. We have item 7A to D. I want to report on item A. We have a closed session earlier today, and we have nothing to report. So we need a motion for 7A to D.
Yeah, I'll move 7A through D.
And the motion.
Thank you. Item 7A is to approve the certificate personnel report. Item 7B is to approve the classified personnel report. And item C is to approve consideration of revised administrator salary schedule with only two administrators from the technical education, the CDE, and also adult education. It's not about for any other group of administrators. Item 7D to adjust the hourly rate for the pay of the long-term adult education substitute teacher, changing or reducing from $64.41 to $42 per hour, with the long-term substitute teacher in adult education. Comment? Question? Hearing none, I call for the vote.
Student trustee Christy Getachew?
Abstain.
You, trustee Walter Munyatone?
Aye.
Trustee Terry Rocco?
Aye.
Trustee Bob Harden?
Aye.
Chairperson Lin Nguyen?
Aye. Thank you very much. We are going now to the final item on the agenda, closing. We begin with a comment from the board member. I'd like to welcome Christy on your very first meeting today. And you now get to speak first.
Thank you. As we've just completed the first month of school, I want to start by thanking the board, staff, and students for their continued support and engagement. Though it's still early in the year, there's already a lot to reflect on. It's been an exciting start with events like the kickoff games, homecomings, new classes, and club rushes, gathering great energy from students and welcoming the new school year. I've already seen students take initiative in many clubs like National Honor Society, California Scholarship Foundation, Latinos Unidos, Girls and Boys Leagues, as well as Spirit Clubs, just to name a few, which demonstrates the strength of the district's spirit of collaboration. I'm continuing to collect feedback from students regarding our schools and district with the Student Senate. Last week, GGUSD's first inaugural Student Senate came together to create the foundation of this organization, starting with our draft mission statement. The GGUSD Student Senate serves as the bridge between our diverse student voices and the district through advocacy, ensuring lifelong success the Garden Grove way. I look forward to bringing the concerns brought to them by their peers to the table in future meetings. On that note, I'm excited for what the rest of the year holds. I know that together we can make sure every student's voice is heard and that we create an environment where everyone can thrive. Thank you for your time and commitment to supporting our school community.
Thank you. Trustee Munyatone.
Yes, thank you, President Nguyen. First, also want to congratulate and welcome our newest student board member. You play an important role in keeping this board and this administrative staff up to date with all the things that are happening at the school level. So we look forward to hearing your insight and your expertise. So welcome again. Next, I want to mention something else. My name was addressed earlier during public comments. I want to clarify a few things. A couple of months ago, myself, President Nguyen, and others, we discussed the idea of ensuring that our Board of Education meetings were live-streamed to ensure transparency and to ensure accountability for our Board of Education members, including myself. There was a notion thrown around that I perhaps do not pay attention during these meetings, and I would advise the members of the public to look at the live streams and check for yourself if there are any trustees here that are not paying attention to those who are here either speaking, our staff, or our students. The record states clearly, and it shows. As elected officials, our job is to make sure that we carry the voices of those who are underserved and to support them at every way that we potentially and possibly can. If there are folks who are dissatisfied with myself or this board up here, that's why we have a democratic process every 4 years where there's an election and folks can be voted out. But history has shown that the folks in our community appreciate this board, and that's why many of us here have 15, 20 plus years serving on this dais. And I would like to hear the voices and to stand up for those who need to be stood up for, but we are not a punching bag for verbal abuse. It's happened to my colleague, Terry Rocco, and I don't stand up for it. We're a human being just like everybody else. And Jim was here actually earlier, and I wish he would have here because he actually gave me an A+ for how I condoned myself in meetings and how I ran past meetings that we had back in 2020 that were very contentious. So I want the record to show that, and I'm going to go ahead and carry on and ramble about the other things that I have on my agenda for today. So one situation that our school community has unfortunately gone through a couple of weeks back with a course in immigration enforcement that took place near one of our schools. And I won't really carry on as to the specifics of what happened, because I think the media has pretty much already done that for us. But I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the fear that is still out there and the fear that many people had that didn't think that some type of enforcement or action could occur in that close proximity to one of our schools. So it's very fearful, very frightening to see that. But one thing I do want to say is I am very, very proud of our staff. I talked to Gabriella a couple of hours after that moment, and I'm just pleased and proud of our staff for the way that they handled the situation, for being able to deploy a mental health crisis team to support our community, and for having drills in place that have been practiced and were able to be executed. So I condemn and the actions that were taken, but I applaud our staff for being there at the right time and doing what they needed to do. Unfortunately, this situation has gone across all through this country. And it's no longer an issue of, and I've been saying this many times, about whether somebody is documented or not documented. Unfortunately, has reached even further than that. A couple of, obviously, news stories that have happened nationwide, but one that really just kind of tugged at my heart that I wanted to share out, and folks may know about the story. North of here in the state of Washington, they are currently going through one of the largest wildfires that their state has faced. It's about 9,000 acres, which has been burning. And last time I checked, they're not even close to anywhere between a full containment. In those situations, both local, state, and federal firefighting forces are stretched to thin, and they have to rely on contracted firefighters to support in these efforts. Sadly, there was an immigration raid by Border Patrol during those active wildfires while there was men and women fighting the fires actively were rounded up by Border Patrol and asked for proper documentation. Many of the eyewitness testimonies say that they were stopped merely because of the color of their skin. So no longer and has not been an issue of immigration documentation, but rather of just straight and blatant racism. And this is a conversation that needs to be had at all fronts because our students are the ones that are seeing this and that are feeling it. We saw it firsthand at one of our elementary schools. So I definitely wanted to point that out. And I've been quoted saying that we need all of our local leaders to step up. Now, it's not just a state issue where we need our senators and our assembly members to step up or our federal congressmen, but our local elected officials to stand up. They cannot just use our students for photo ops, but when the time comes when our students need a voice because they are powerless, we need them to also be there and not just for the good times and the photo ops. They need to be there at all times. A little bit more on the positive note, I want to just say that this time, we've all been very busy with back-to-school nights. I know I definitely have. If you look at my calendars, Tuesday through Thursday, back-to-school nights. I've attended a lot, and I'm attending a few more. But one I want to stand out and I want to hope that Stephanie can extend a very good job is to our newest administrator over at Walton. I've had a pleasure of working with her when she was at Doig and then ultimately Santiago. You really have to have a certain kind of energy to be a principal at Walton Intermediate, right? Because they are known to having a good time, and they have very strong leaders, parent leaders. Some of our folks here know because they've also worked directly with Walton. So kudos to them because they're feeling a good need out there. I also want to extend the congratulations with one of our, not our own GGUSD staff, but our Garden Grove Police Department, SRO Patrick Julian, for his retirement and the service that he's done for our community and our school district, especially with the emotional support through our canine program. So I just want to extend to the PD, y'all gentlemen in the back, if you can extend that to the PD and Patrick Julian for his service, I'd appreciate that. Happy Labor Day for all those who celebrated it on Monday. I know I did, and it was definitely a good time. So a kudos to our associations for all the work that they do. And then lastly, a thank you to all of us here in this room for being here, for being present, doing the work that needs to be done every single day for our students. I want to thank you on behalf of our community. Thank you.
Now, order. Trustee Rocco?
Yes. First of all, welcome to Christy, and you are the voice of our students, and so when you talk, we're going to listen. Also, congratulations to all of our California Distinguished Schools for their achievement, and looking forward to maybe more next year. So I also want to congratulate the Pacifica Mariners for their 28-21 victory against the Garden Grove Argonauts. Sorry, had to do that. But even though it was very exciting, I think that both teams had the opportunity to play at SoFi Stadium last Friday. It was a big night, I think, for both teams, no matter who won, who lost. I want to thank Dr. Moffey for her inspiring message of the keynote address and our assistant superintendents for their staff introductions, the information they shared, and the goals for our district in this coming year. It's a great way to kick off our school year. I had the opportunity to attend very early in the morning food staff services opening, bus driver orientation, and M&O orientation. And I just want to give a shout out to our hardworking classified staff that feed our kids with care. They get them to and from school safely and make sure our campuses are clean and safe. Every year they prepare for the start of a new school year, just like teachers do and principals. And they are very vital employees in our district. I was able to attend the ribbon cutting ceremony at Mark Twain and celebrated the expansion and the transformation. I have not been to that campus in years, and it looks stunning. I think these upgrades and combining the two programs are really going to benefit our students and maximize the resources and the support system there is going to be great for our kiddos. Also attended the ribbon cutting ceremony at Rancho to celebrate the launch of our new skilled trades pathway and to see the new beautiful but functional space for our students to learn. This is exciting because it's not just a one semester shop class. It's a comprehensive 4-year program that's apprenticeship program that's going to help our kids who are interested in careers like carpentry and electrical work, plumbing, welding, construction, engineering. It gives our kids many options. It adds to not only our kids looking for professional careers and going to college, but kids who are interested in skilled trades and when the time that they finish high school, they go right into the apprenticeship program, they get paid. So I think it's awesome, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they progress and how hopefully in the future we can open up other classes like this. I was able to go to Bryant to see the presentation of several gift cards for our three teachers who were impacted by the fires there that were given to them by the Orange County Fire Authority Association, which was very generous and very thoughtful of them to come back and do that. And while I was there, we took a tour, the walkthrough of the three portables, and I was told that they were prepared in time for the first day of school. All this, from the time the fire broke out to when school started, was maybe 2 weeks-ish, that's amazing. So kudos to facilities, and I know a whole bunch of other people who were involved in making that happen. And it was very heartwarming to hear the teachers so excited to say the kids came to school and it was seamless and they were excited and their classrooms were ready. That's what they were very happy about. So I'm glad I got to be there. The ACR was packed with our PTA council presidents. They're ready for the new school year. Everybody is preparing. And we have a strong partnership with our PTAs. And I want to thank Dr. Moffley, Dr. Heflin, let's see who else, Dr. Sanchez, Alicia Schwartz, who come to the meetings to share information, to be there, to be present, to field questions or concerns, so that we have an awesome relationship with our parent leaders. And I also visited the Korean 10 Essentials class. Our parent education is up and running, and this was their first class. The room was packed. I think there was about 35 or 40. I think we maxed out on room capacity and food services. But it's just, I'm just amazed, and kudos to Stacy So, who teaches this class. This is a district class because, as you know, our Korean population are kind of scattered. And her secret, I think, is that she surveys the parents and she gives them what they want. They come back for information that they have asked about or inquired about, and she changes it up every year. Even though she teaches the same programs, she changes it up so much that they're there because they know they're going to get new information. So I just wanted to give her a shout out and parent and community outreach, as well as they've got several classes lined up at our FRCs to meet the needs of our community, our parents. And so I hope to be visiting some of those classes in the next couple of months. So it is back to school time at all of our schools. So I have already gone to, let's see, 6, 7, 8, 9 back to schools in the last 2 weeks. I can't believe they started a week after school started. Wow, I my hat's off to those teachers, because you're barely up and running and already you have, you know, everybody's coming into your classroom. But people weren't out there to see how well you have your class, but to meet the teacher and to build a relationship, to get information. And I think in every class I saw, from preschool all the way to high school, our teachers are truly engaged with our parents. They totally transmit that their focus is to build academic achievement for our kids. This is the goals. They come right out in the way that they talk to our parents, as well as support them in their personal skills and emotionally, and the genuine concern. So many of our teachers are parents, and they convey that, and they share that with the parents. So they really do make an amazing connection with our parents. So I'm looking forward to attending the rest of the back-to-school nights once I get back from vacation. So thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Hardin.
And I don't have nearly as long a list as Terry. I actually spent the past couple of weeks helping my daughter with a move to Washington. And while we were up there, my wife and I took a couple of days of vacation time in one of the most beautiful spots on Earth in British Columbia. And now I'm back, and I think I have something on my calendar every day for the next 2 to 3 weeks, including a couple of site visits with Dr. Moffey, 3 back-to-school nights, a couple of athletic events. I'm going to be running for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Thank you, Mr. Hardin. I miss you at the football game on SoFi. He just showed me how the game is played, so yeah. Without him, I just lost. But But I was in person. I make my way to the SoFi Stadium. I was very impressed, of course. Without that game, I would never had opportunity to be in that stadium. I can imagine many of our students would never have a chance to play in that stadium, that venue as well. So for that, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they make their way into the SoFi Stadium. It's quite a good learning experience. It's something I learned from my own eyes too. It was tense. It was Pacifica were leading, and Gandro turned over. I thought Gandro would make it a day, but it turned back. It was tense, the way I understood it. But I saw something else that I don't know if I should say it now. I saw that almost every play, there's a new group of students coming in and out. I thought, as tense as it can be, why don't you keep the best kid in there? But it turned out that's how they allow as many students to play as possible. It wasn't about winning or losing there. I thought, that's good. That's just what they do. So I'm very impressed. I don't know. I may got it the wrong way, but this is how I saw it. I don't see that thing in the real football game, right? I mean, if you get it close, you don't do that. But here, this is a new group with a large number of players in and out. I said, wow. That list to give all the kids to have a chance to go in and out and play, regardless of the losing or winning, okay? So that's very, I think, at least I saw that. I'm impressed with how they play, and I'm very impressed with the level of energy, the assignment of everyone, the parent, especially the parent. They all fill up that portion of the stadium. So that's kind of a good experience for me. I'm very happy I had a chance to see all the kids there. Of course, one win, one loss, but they all both from Gando District. At least I don't have to go outside the district. And today I'm very impressed to welcome on our 11 distinguished school to come today. And it's long overdue. We had thought we have done it earlier, but here they still get a chance to recognize them. And then at least I can see that it's very important for us to see that we're very proud of them. And very, very important a chance that they can come together. And I want to thank the staff to put together this plan here, at least to let our school know that we value their endeavor. We recognize who they are and the achievement that they accomplished. So hope they can bring back to their school and community that we treasure that very much. And of course, this is the back to school time. I have tried to attend as many back to school as many possible, but not as many you did. But with many schools, I want to call out to Brian, call out to from Brian's school. I came there not only for back to school, and I really want to see, as you know, Brian, there was a fire that destroyed like almost the whole building, drove three classrooms there. But then when you came there, no one seemed to notice that. There was a burned building. There was a brand new portable house up and running. I was impressed that of how it could happen. Of course, the administrator and the teacher knew of that, but it didn't seem to affect anyone there. And I'm very impressed at the way, the speed that the urgency that our staff put together and put it those three portable classroom up and running. I don't know if those portable will stay there too. And after the, I don't know, but they may want to keep it. Find a keeper. Right? So they can make a good use of those three classrooms. But I'm impressed that the school, I mean, everyone were working together, make it possible for those three portable classrooms to get up and running without affecting anyone. So that would be very traumatizing. I imagine, but I didn't see that. The kids just have fun in the level of, from all the school that I saw. I could see the level of excitement of all the students and our parents have seen the new. And going to the different school site, I saw a lot of new programs, new things that put together. So it's a kind of learning experience for me to see all the program in place at, as we welcome the new school year. Thank you very much for that. And now I want to announce the next meeting. The next meeting will be on October 7th. We also begin at 5 p.m. with a closed session. And after that, there will be a third session. The one after that will be on November 18th. We also begin at 5 p.m. for the closed session. And we'll follow with a third session as well. And with that, the meeting is now adjourned.